Mark 5:22. And there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he falleth at his feet, and beseecheth him much, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. I pray thee that thou come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be made whole and live. And he went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and they thronged him. You know what I felt like the Lord told me a long time ago is that because of our human nature, it's very useful for us to pick a point, kind of like a focal point, to release our faith. If we try to do it over a period of time, we lose the point and we don't focus the energy and the power that God has put in us on the problem. Here's a man that had faith. Hey, you come lay your hand on her and God will heal her. He had faith. And not only did he have faith, he spoke the faith. So God had already, he had already focused God's power through his faith to touch a certain point, okay? So he believed that this power was in Jesus, just ready to be released. You know, something I felt like the Lord showed me a while back is that God wants our whole being in unity with this faith thing. Many times the problem is there's a short circuit in there somewhere. It starts out in our spirit, but before it gets to our flesh and out the end of our fingers, there's something shorting it out. And I felt like the Lord told me, and I shared part of it with you one time, how that the Lord wants to use us spirit, soul, and body to be in this ministry of miracles and healing. One thing I felt like he said that we left out was the imagination, because God had ordained and made and created our imagination to work for the kingdom, and yet it's been working for the flesh. Imagination, the Bible has more to say negative about imagination than it does positive, and the reason is man's imagination is only evil continually. It's been perverted. But think about your imagination. You don't have that by accident. God put that there to work for him. It's there because he created it. It's not wrong, it's not evil, it's just perverted if it's not renewed by the Word of God. The Lord wants us to use our imagination. Can you see yourself about to be healed or prayed over by a bunch of people? Can you see that in these people is the power of God? Can you see that this power is pent up and it's waiting to be released? Okay? Because when we read on, we're going to see this too, I think, and we'll put it down. This power is there. If he said, you shall, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses. Okay? If you receive the Holy Spirit, this power is there. Okay? He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He didn't send his people powers. I agree that some people have short-circuited this process by not receiving the Holy Spirit, but he didn't send us powerless. Can you use your imagination? We saw the last time I taught on this imagination, a bunch of miracles happened immediately because people started exercising their imagination to see this thing before it happened. This is scriptural. To see the end from the beginning, seeing it with your spiritual eyes is like seeing with your imagination, you see. And the Bible says, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You have to imagine those promises as being true and done. You have to be able to accept it in your imagination. You have to see it in the inner man. If you're not able to do that, you're never able to exercise faith for it. The Bible says, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That takes an imagination. You can't do that without your imagination.
Right.
How are you going to look in the mirror and see anybody but you with your imaginations? He's telling you to look in that mirror and see Jesus with your imagination. And let your faith work through that imagination to bring it to pass. You see? So your imagination needs to be renewed. It has to be in agreement with your spirit. So that this thing just flows, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit don't have... It does not have the possibility of being in unbelief. That is not the problem. It's not your spirit. It's an unbelief. Okay. It's the flesh working through your soul. It's an unbelief.
That's right.
So God wants to reverse this process. He wants it to come from your spirit to your soul to your body. He wants us all to be in agreement with what we read in the Word. Here's a man that said, hey, just lay your hand on her, she'll be healed. Can you use your imagination and focus it on a point? Mm-hmm. See, don't let it be general. This is what I feel like the Lord is saying, is you have to have a focal point. Some people have called it in the past, I think Oral Roberts was one, he said it changed his ministry years ago when he discovered the, what did he call it now? He called it point of contact, or a focal point. It's a place where you decide, that's where I'm releasing this power. Not let it dribble out a little bit at a time. Here, I want this power to release at this particular time. Why did God choose the laying on of hands? It's a particular point, you see. We talked about it the other night. Why did God choose baptism? Because it is a point at the very beginning of your Christian walk where you believe, now I am resurrected with Christ. Now I'm dead to self. And now the new man lives in me. You see, it's a focal point. It is a point of contact. We talked about the Lord's Supper, how that it is a point of contact, of receiving the body of the Lord and the blood of the Lord. The blood that isn't tainted through degeneration now is our blood. Not the blood of our old man, you know, but the blood of Jesus Christ. The body that Jesus had that wasn't corrupted through death, that's our body now. Even as He is, even so are we in this world. Our body is not corrupted by sin. It's not corrupted through death. It's not corrupted with sickness. Because the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. Don't believe that. It's not true. Your body is healthy. If you don't believe it, and you don't use your imagination to accept it, you won't have it. God promised us this. This is His promise. I'll put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Did you know, I am Jehovah Rapha? If you look that word up, it's spelled in two different ways. And Rapha means to mend by sewing up. Okay? It means a healing, but it means to mend by sewing up. You know? But Rapha, R-A-P-H-E-H, is Jehovah Rapha. Okay? But if you leave the H off, it's pronounced the same in Jewish. It has another term. You know what the term is? Death. All you do is add the H, and it means healed. you remember Sarah and Abram? Sarai and Abram? Yeah. What did God put on their name to make them members of the new covenant?
I always wondered why.
Well, you know, it was A-H. You know what A-H means? It means the brother of. The brother of.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, he told Abram, you're going to be the father of a multitude. The only way he could be the father of a multitude is he had to be the brother of the Lord. When God added A-H to his name, he became the brother of. It also was a symbol of him joining this new covenant with God, because we become brothers of the Lord when we enter the covenant and receive a new name, right? What's a new name? We're baptized into, literally it says, the name of the Lord, of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Into the name. We take a new name, see? Okay. Well, the way it's spelled in Jehovah Rapha, or Rapha, the H is on there. You take the H off, it's pronounced the same in Jewish. The pronunciation is the same. The only thing is, then it means death. Interesting. I mean, look, you're either going to be under death, or you're going to be under the healer. What's the difference? It's right here between your ears. That's the difference right there. If you believe one, you got it. If you believe the other, you got it, you know. But we have to be the brother of the Lord. We have to enter into this covenant with Him to believe that He's our Jehovah Rapha. You know, the word, that's the word for physician in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Okay. Why? Because physician is a modern term. But in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, they just called them healers. If you see the word physician in the Bible, it's not a biblical term at all. Physician is a modern term. That word should just be healer. There were people who healed through man's methods, and then God, of course, who brought healing. But the term is the same. The physicians in Egypt, that was the same thing. The only thing is, God does it one way, and they do it another way. Okay? God's got His methods, and they got their methods, you know? He that is sick have need of a physician. You think Jesus was saying? No, he wasn't saying that at all. He was saying they had need of a healer. Okay? He wasn't agreeing with the physician part, because that was not a biblical term. In the Greek or the Hebrew, it wasn't a biblical term. That's a modern translation, transliteration of that in the Old Testament, Rapha. Okay? Rapha, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Okay? So, he believed that Jesus had this power penned up in him, and all he had to do was touch his daughter, and that power was going to be released. That's the way we got to see it. Look, you got these people gathered around you, and they're about to pray for you to receive something. You can use your imagination to see this pent-up power in this person. And when they touch you in agreement, that power is released from them and given to you. Okay? Look at the next verse, 25. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians or healers, right? And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, having heard of the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. Here is a focal point. Again, a focal point. She's picking a time and confessing a confession that when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, at that time she was going to be made whole. She picked a focal point, a place to release her faith, a place to release the Lord's power. Did you watch? It was also a place to release the Lord's power. See? Don't forget this, that if you've got the Holy Spirit, this power's in you. You see? So when you pray for people, you can use the same method. When you're being prayed for by people, you can use the same method. You see? It's a focal point to release your power at a certain point. You see? I felt like, Lord, I've said this several times. I never have really preached on it, but I've said it several times. I've told people, I said, now when we lay our hands on you, at that point, you're going to be healed. And I don't say that because you have to walk by sight. I'm saying that because that's a place to release your faith. So he says, that she said, if I just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Straightway Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, or from him had gone forth, turned him about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? Power came out of the Lord when this woman agreed it would come out. When she agreed and she exercised her faith to have the power of God released, it came out of Jesus. Jesus knew nothing about it until it was all over. See? So, I mean, one thing I've said here before, I totally agree with. This proves you do not have to have God's permission. God's already given his permission. It's automatic. When you touch him by faith, something's going to happen. You don't have to convince him, in other words. But some people spend all their energy trying to convince God to heal them. He's convinced. Give up. Forget. You know? If he said it's done, it's done. I mean, quit trying to convince the Lord. He said it's finished. By his stripes you were healed. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet himself, took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Past him. Stop trying to convince him. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. Instead, exercise your energy to focus your faith on a point to receive from God. We see this all through the Bible. Well, you know, like Naaman when he was told to go dunk himself seven times, you know. Not six, you know. Seven times. He didn't get anything until the seventh time. And he went and obeyed this point of God's releasing power at that point. He was healed. I think it's good. I think God is showing us something here that we should not use faith like a scattergun, you know, but direct it and focus it on a certain point, you see. God's power is there. God's power is in every one of us, you understand? Everybody that's been filled with the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He'll give life to your mortal body. That's right. This one right here, there's life in the mortal body. But if you just have the Spirit of Christ, your body is dead because of sin. In other words, you don't have any power there. Okay? Romans chapter 8. Okay?
So a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit, they have to believe what the Bible says. You know, it doesn't matter whether you feel like you've got power. The Bible says, you have to go by what the Bible says. The Bible says, Acts 1:8, after you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll have power. Power. So it's there. Okay? So what you got to see, what you got to see is what the Bible says. Use your imagination to see what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? It says you're full of power. Okay, how is this power? Having power is no good unless you release it, right? How do we release it? Well, one thing we see over and over in the Scriptures is this focal point, or this point of contact. You know, it may be different things. I mean, we don't have to necessarily make it up, but we could. This lady, in her heart, she just said, well, I'll just touch the hem of his garment. If I just touch the hem of his garment. She might not have wanted God to shake Jesus' hand or him lay his hand on her or whatever. But if she said, if I just... Where did you think this came from? It came right out of her mind. You think God boomed down out of heaven and said, hey, if you go touch his garment, this is what you're going to get. No, that came right out of her mind. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. She said that. See, she said she spoke her faith, too. She said that. So, I think what the Lord is saying is, look, we can receive power out of other people by focusing our faith. We can release power by focusing our faith. Jesus did that. Other people can receive from us by focusing their faith. See, there is power pent up in God's people. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what it's showing us here? And, of course, when Jesus turned around and wanted to know who it was that touched her, they all said, hey, we all touched you. What are you talking about, you know? Well, no, somebody touched him by faith and made a difference because it released that power, right? And he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The handkerchief, you know, think about that handkerchief, you know, in Acts 19. Well, what do you think is in that handkerchief? Does it really matter what's in the handkerchief?
No.
Does it matter what's in the handkerchief?
No,
it don't make any difference what's in the handkerchief. I mean, like I said, we prayed over a glass of water and said, here, drink this, you'll be healed. And people drink it and they get healed. Why? It don't have anything to do with the method. It has to do with the faith. It's a place where your imagination believes it can work. You know, if a preacher on that television, now some people scoff at this, but I know better. A preacher on that television, he may not know a thing about what he's talking about. But he says, now you put your hand up on this screen and touch my hand, and you receive your healing at that point. The guy might be totally nuts, but if somebody does that by faith, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to get healed.
That's right.
They're going to get healed. Their imagination was involved in this situation. What did they think? Did they think if they put their hand on that screen, that power was going to come from that guy to them? Hey, what's between that guy and them? Air? What is the point? The point is, it's the imagination believing that at this point I'm receiving. And they stick their hand up against his hand, and they get it. Don't say they don't. There's too many people that have gotten it that way. I've never received it that way, because I never had to. But if you do it, and you believe it, it will happen. What verse does this woman have? If I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. What verse? When did God ever say that to her? It just came right out of her mind. If I do this, I'm going to be healed. You know, there's power in that man. You know, there's power in all of God's people. You know, you can touch God's people by faith. You know, I kind of like the idea. Okay, this may be just me. Okay, I don't necessarily have a verse for this, but I kind of like the idea that when people stand around you and pray for you to be healed, they decide, whoever decides, to lay hands, because it's not always, we're not always commanded to lay hands, right? You can anoint with oil, you can do other things. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord is a point of contact. But the people praying should agree, and the person being prayed for should agree, that the moment they lay their hands upon me, that's when power is released from these people, and it enters my body. And at that point, I am healed. You know, they're agreeing with that. Can you see this in your imagination? Imagine power pent up like water in a tank, you know. If you open a valve, it just comes flooding out, you know. It's not like we don't have any biblical precedent for this, you know. Jesus had this power pent up in him, and when this woman touched him, it was released. In her imagination, she'd already imagined this.
If I just touch him, it's going to happen, you know.
That's the way it ought to be with us. We ought to be thinking, you know. Now, when these brothers that are filled with the Holy Spirit and they lay their hands on me, that power that's pent up in them is going to go into me and I am healed at that point. The other way around, this power that's in me, have you ever done this? I've literally felt this many times. I felt it many times. Mm-hmm. When I lay, and it didn't have necessarily anything to do with imagination, but I learned later that the Lord wanted me to use my imagination this way. But when I've spoken this to you in the past, it didn't have anything to do with my imagination.
Yeah.
I literally felt it.
Yeah,
have you ever felt it? You lay hands on somebody, and you feel the power run down your arms and out your elbows and through your fingers. I felt it like electricity. I felt it running up my back, out my arms. Poof, just like that. And I've asked people many times, I don't know why I do, because sometimes I'm curious. Did they feel what I felt? Yeah. I ask them, I say, hey, did you feel that? And sometimes they look at you puzzled, and other times they say, yeah, I felt that. Yeah. It's not that you have to feel anything. It's not that you have to feel anything, because sometimes people don't feel nothing, and they still get healed. The Bible don't say you have to feel anything to get healed.
When I was coughing and you laid your hands on me and I was just coughing and I just could feel you and I quit. When I prayed for Vicky the other day, we were holding hands like that and it was like, it was magnetic. It was just, I could feel her. It's like, just tingling.
Yeah. Tingling. Like a little, like an electrical charge.
I felt like I was receiving that this was going to help her. I mean, I thought, she's real. And it was just really amazing that day.
God is so good. Well, he wants our imagination, he wants our whole being to agree with this thing. You know, that's the problem, is we may be agreeing in one part, not agreeing in another part. It's not pure faith. I think pure faith is when you get your whole being in agreement with this thing. You begin to practice it, you know. Like when Jackie was healed, we imagined, and I pointed out, we were just doing, you might say an experiment, but it wasn't an experiment because it was biblical, you know. I said, can you see that swelling in the side of Jackie's face just go down as we pray? Can you imagine that? Just watch it go. Whoop. You know, we didn't know that at that very moment that's exactly what happened. Over in Jackie's house, whoop, it was gone. Next day, Bob called up and said, man, I had this foot and headache. You know, I've been wrestling with it and fighting with it and rebuking it. And I didn't tell Bob what I did, but I told him afterwards, you know. On the phone, I said, well, I rebuke that headache. I command it to leave your body in the name of Jesus. And I just saw a big smile come on Bob's face by faith in my imagination. I just saw it happen. So you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to see it in the inner man, not with your natural eyes, you know. And I just saw the headache leaving and just a big smile come across his face. He turned around and called me right back. He said, Dave, it's right when you pray. He said, it just left. I said, I know what I saw it. See, your faith, not only do you speak the things before they happen, this is what God is teaching us to do, but you imagine them before they happen. I do always those things that I see of my Father, Jesus said. Can you see your Father doing it? If you can't see your Father doing this, then don't do it.
Don't do it.
If you can't see Him doing it, don't do it. If you can see Him doing it. You know why I can see praying for a lot of sick folk? It's because I know Jesus would do this. I know He would do this. I mean, He healed everybody that came to Him. You know, He told us, you know, look at this point. I mean, this is the point. I'll just make it before I go on. Back in Matthew chapter 9, so far as I can see, the Lord put very few conditions on this healing thing because He didn't want to give you a bunch of confusion and a lot of reasons why you couldn't get healed. The church does just the opposite. They put so many conditions on it. And the biggest one is, if it be thy will. That's the biggest one. If it be thy will. Well, you'll never know anything. You can't ever exercise any faith like that. You get in the Bible and find out if it's God's will, then you go pray for somebody. Don't pray for somebody until you find out if it's God's will, right? For goodness sake, if you didn't find out it's God's will, if you read the Bible one time and you hadn't found out it's God's will to heal people, then give it up. You're wasting your time. I mean, Jesus healed everybody that came to Him. Now, He was particular about when He went to somebody else. Very particular. Very few times He ever did that. But when people came to Him by faith, and He saw their faith, you can see faith. You know that? You can see faith. You can see it. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. He entered into a boat, crossed over, and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. Without getting into the sinning part, let's look at this other part, okay? Hey, he saw their faith. Why would they go to all this trouble? To bring this guy, you know? To pack him, you know? Or let him down through the roof and tear the roof up, you know? If they didn't have faith, you know? This man that came from over in eastern Florida over here to the revival to get his baby resurrected. Let me tell you something. It took faith to him to do that. And he wasn't trying to hide it from nobody. That man had faith. He didn't find any on this end, but he had some when he was coming. It was his faith. He had faith. Okay. There wasn't two in agreement, but that man had faith. The sad part is that when he came over here, he didn't find somebody that had faith on this end. Okay?
I think it's because of the fact he had to come over here for his faith. He could have done it himself if he didn't have to feel he needed the extra faith.
He wasn't exercising faith for that. He was exercising faith that
these people
mighty revivalists could lay hands on this baby and resurrect his faith. Okay. Well, they thought that their revival would one day get them to the point where they could do that, quoting from the paper, this is what they said. Well, what are they waiting for? I mean, the Lord gave us this authority. Look in Matthew 10, and verse 5. Now, I think this is important. You know, these 12 Jesus sent forth, and he charged them, saying, go not into any way of the Gentiles. What were the Gentiles? They were the dogs. They were the pagans. They didn't have, it wasn't, this is the children's bread, Jesus proclaimed already in Matthew 15. This is the children's bread. This healing, this deliverance, this blessing is the children's bread. It's not for the pagans, okay? Don't go into anywhere with the Gentiles. Enter not into any of the city of the Samaritans. Well, the Samaritans, they had the same religion. Well, for the simple reason is that they had the religion, but these weren't Jews. In the captivity, in the Assyrian captivity, the Jews were deported. And they took pagans and brought them into that land. And when these people were dying in that land, the prophets told them, well, it's because you don't know the God of the land. Go get you some priests, and they'll come tell you about the God of the land. That's the reason this land is so harsh to you and it's killing you. So they got the priests, and they taught them Judaism. Okay? But who was this learning the principles of Judaism? Pagans. Pagans. They weren't Jews. You know what? This is a problem. This is a big problem today. We got a lot of pagans. They studied Judaism. They know about Judaism, but they're still pagan. God didn't send us to the pagans. Generally, you can tell they're a pagan because they know how to talk the talk, but they don't know how to walk the walk. You can tell they're a pagan. You know what I'm talking about? This is not for them. I don't care if they call Jesus their Savior. This is not for them. This is for God's people. Truly, God's people. So he said, don't go to these people. Okay? But go rather, verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what? God's people today, they're just like that. They're lost sheep. They don't know the way in many cases. Don't make any difference. They're God's sheep. You understand? It don't make any difference. They're God's sheep. They're his children and he loves them. These are the lost sheep that Jesus was coming to. But they had a covenant with God. That covenant made them entitled to this. The Lord even spoke that in the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament. Now Jesus was just coming along and reiterating the covenant when he promised healing to these people. They got healing in the Old Testament. I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. Okay? So, it's offered to God's people. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. See, here's something else. He wasn't just talking about the next verse, get no gold, silver, or brass in your purses. He was talking about the previous verse when he said, freely you receive, freely give. You see that? There wasn't any punctuation there. He was still talking about the same. All of this was talking about freely you receive, freely give. Freely you receive? Yeah. God freely gave us this power to do this. Freely you received. Freely give. Would you give it to them for they might lose it. Like they did in Jesus' time, they lost it. Matthew chapter 15, he told the story about this generation that he was praying over, how the demon went out and came back seven times worse. You know? He said, even so is this generation. Why? Because Jesus cast the demons out and they came right back. Okay? Well, that's not our business. You know, our business is just to do what the Father has told us to do. He said, freely I give you this gift, now you can turn around and freely give it. That's where you got to see it. Can you see that in your imagination? God freely gave you this gift. These signs shall accompany them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick. Point of contact. Focal point. And they shall recover. So anybody that believes can do this, you see. Like he also spoke about speaking in tongues in the same verse.
Okay.
So speak in tongues. Freely you ever see, freely give. You may give it, you may be thinking, well, this person really don't deserve it. And I know that a lot of people, they don't have any faith to receive, and they don't have any faith to receive because their heart condemns them. They're in a willful disobedience. They're in willful rebellion against God. And in most cases, you're wasting your time praying for somebody whose heart condemns them because their faith is not there and they're not going to receive it. Maybe if they were confident towards God or bold towards God, they could receive it. But maybe they're not going to receive because of that. Yeah. I'm getting a little bit away from my point here, but the thing that I see really important here is this focal point. To focus your faith on a point of contact. Listen, I don't know how many ways that I've done this, and I don't see that it really makes any difference, the method, as long as the person that you're talking to believes it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I shared with you one time how that we prayed over this Baptist brother who wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in healing. And this class I was teaching, he came in very unnerved, crying, as a matter of fact, about his wife, who was very sick. And this thought just popped in my mind. I said, it came right out of my mouth. I said, well, here's what we'll do. I've been preaching to this brother about the Holy Spirit, about receiving healing. And he was kind of hem-hawing about it, thinking about it, considering it. But he wasn't there yet, you see. He was just thinking about it, considering it. I mean, he hadn't been taught that in the Baptist church. So I said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We who have the Holy Spirit are going to pray over you, and we're going to impart this power to you. And when you go home and you lay hands on your wife, she is going to be healed. That's what I told him. I said, she is going to be healed. Now, I needed to speak faith. Well, lo and behold, there was enough people that agreed with me. They stood up and laid hands on the guy, you know. And he went home, and he laid hands on his wife, and she was instantly healed. And there was a point of release of this power that we released to him. Whether he agreed or not, we released it to him. There was a point of this release. The point of release was what I said. When you lay hands on your wife, she's going to be healed. He laid his hands on his wife, and she was healed. He came up, came back to that Bible study, lit up like a light bulb. He didn't know God could do that. He'd never seen God do that. And here it was coming out of his hands. You know? If you say bold things, these thoughts that come to your mind that sound unbelievable to the flesh sometimes, mm-hmm. Just speak the bold things. Let it come out of your mouth. Don't be bashful. Let it come out of your mouth. Speak those bold things before they happen. You'll see them come to pass. Because that's the Lord. The devil ain't going to put faithful words in your mouth. He ain't going to do that. Forget that. He might even tell you he'll do that, but he ain't going to do it. You know what I'm talking about? The devil acts like he's God, you know, but he's not ever going to tell you the truth, you know. The truth is, if you speak by faith in God's word over people who are believing God's word, there's only one thing that can happen. God's word. It's going to happen. God is faithful. Well, God put power in us. We need to see that. I mean, we need to imagine it. We need to see ourselves that way, that God put power in us. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you feel like you have power? Don't make any difference whether you feel like you got power or not. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. You should get power because that's what the Word says. You should see in your spirit, you should see in your imagination that power is pinned up in you just like it was Jesus. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Now you go do this. Freely you receive, freely give. I'm giving you this gift, you pass it on. That's what we ought to see. And we ought to see that power pinned up in us and give it a place of release. Jesus, sometimes the place of release was just a word. What did he say? Lord, say the word, and my servant... In fact, it says, I looked it up in the original, some of your Bibles have a note at the bottom, say with a word, and my servant will be healed. Say with a word, and my servant will be healed. Speak the word. You don't necessarily have to touch anybody. I mean, how many different ways to do it? Anoint them with oil, speak to them, lay hands on them, but it's always a focal point. Did you notice that? There is a point. I mean, even Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, what did he say? He wanted a word from Jesus. Jesus said, come. That's the word. That's all I wanted to hear. He's out on the water, you know. You can do anything. I mean, the Bible says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. To who? Anybody that believes. Mark 9:23. To him that believes. Nothing's going to be impossible. Nothing's going to be impossible. The Lord meant that. That sounds like fairy tale, you know. But he meant that. Nothing's going to be impossible. It'll bring faith to other people when you do that and God honors it. How many people do you think saw that sun stand still for Joshua, you know? Well, I'm going to tell you, there was a bunch of believers there, wasn't it? See, the power of God uses his power to manifest his glory to other people, you know? I'll tell you what, people's lives change when God heals them and does miracles. And, I mean, people's lives change. I mean, it does something to you to see God do something like that. Never let it go by that somebody prays for you and you don't express your faith in some tangible way. Never let it go by, because you probably just wasted something if you did. You know, we see in the Bible people expressing their faith in some tangible way. You know, like Pauline was talking about how we prayed for her and going out of the building. Bob said, "Well, she's healed. It's gone. You know, it's over." You know, I thought, "Well, there it was. I was waiting for that." You know, it's no good for me to command you to do that. Well, you know, you need to express your faith. Faith without works is dead. You know. And the laying of hands on people, that's an expression of your faith. Don't be letting the devil put plans in your head. What's going to happen if it don't happen? You ever had the devil write your hands? What do you mean if it don't happen? Some people give themselves a way out before they ever pray.
That's right.
They try to.
A lot of people don't realize what waverers they are.
That's right.
Yeah. One. They don't realize. And what does the Lord say? You have nothing from the Lord.
Right.
So you must be steadfast in your faith, or you'll have nothing from him.
Burn your bridges behind you.
That's right.
You got faith, you can burn your bridges behind you. You ain't going back that way, you know? I mean, this is what faith does, you know? The devil starts building bridges behind you. He starts giving you ideas about, well, what if something don't happen? You know, you need to come up with a logical explanation here, you know?
Aren't you foolish?
Oh, yeah.
You do all this and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Well, all kind of stuff like that.
He's good to me.
Man, he's a deceiver. He's good at it. He's been at it for thousands of years.